Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Yes, do we know where we're going? Well, let's find out more from Doug Sciocca, Chief Executive Officer, Partner, Cavar Capital Partners, helping to manage more than $270 million, joining us on the RingCentral phone line from Leawood, Kansas. Doug, good to have you with us on Bloomberg.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Carol. Good to be on.
How do you like that music? Does that work for you?
Yeah, it is. It's soothing. It's contemplative. It's melodic. Yeah, nice afternoon infusion.
All right. So when is this season going to end? I know you've written about America's Got Talent. When does the rally in stocks end?
Well, it's a good question. America's Got Talent finished up last week, and the Fed tapering anticipation finished last week, and with inaction, as the whole world knows. And you know, it's just been a phenomenal month, and you know, with the Syrian wind down and the Fed inaction and the German elections and prospective government shutdown, and there's still a lot of undercurrents, but certainly some shifting sands. And the stock market has proved pretty resilient to this point. Of course, the last couple days of last week, it gave back everything it got on the non-tapering rally that took place on Wednesday afternoon.
And I like what you say, America's Got Talent, AGT. You've got your own version, America's Got Tapering.
Yes. And we have tapering, right, Carol? We may not have it yet, but I don't think in my years, certainly of investing money, we've been given a maybe more reliable foreshadowing than what the Fed has indicated is going to be the next step, albeit non-aggressive, tepid, all the different descriptive adjectives surrounding the term of tapering that they've tried to buttress it with. They're going to, at some point, reduce the amount of bonds they're purchasing. Clearly, they didn't feel like the time was right last week to make that determination or action, but I think it is obviously forthcoming.
What kind of companies do you want to invest in right now? Do you want to do value deals? Are you looking for growth? What do you look for?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Tim and Carol, we try to look broadly across the asset classes of stocks and bonds and alternative assets, and right, the expected return for each has both a macroeconomic and security-specific set of drivers. And for all three, the state of the Fed's monetary policy has to weigh in, and those sands are shifting. So in light of those shifting sands, we think portfolios should consider less speculation, less interest rate sensitivity leanings, and identification and incorporation of protection, in quotes, from persistent volatility when it presents. So on the stock side, yes, value orientation, we think active management, and that certainly doesn't have a connotation of day trading, but having an active management component with a value-oriented set of securities as part of the stock selection, and not confining it just to the borders of the United States, but looking at other countries around the world.
Doug Sciocca, you mentioned overseas. You said you should not confine yourself when making investments to the United States. All right, take us overseas. Where do we go?
Yeah, and I think, Tim, where you're going to find some of your best opportunity is in multinational distribution corporations. Now, those can be domiciled in the U.S. They can be domiciled in foreign countries and registered on an exchange in the U.S. But I think having a very broad distribution mechanism as it relates to developed and emerging economies, as it relates to sectors of the economy that are either more mid to late cycle and economically sensitive, or even straddle the line like the financial services sector between early segment and interest rate sensitive. Like if you consider some of the large financial services companies, they have growth fueled by access to cheap dollars. They also see an elevation of economic activity as economies evolve, develop, and strengthen. So there are certain sectors, I think, that straddle both almost in a hybrid type characterization. But if we are, right, if we do see any benefit to all the stimulus the Fed has provided, not just to the U.S., but programs that have been carried forward in the EU and Japan, if they are going to have some stimulative underlying economic growth component to them, then we must be moving past that initial part of the early cycle interest rate sensitive phase.
Doug, how do you see the market environment over the next 6 to 12 months? What's it going to be like?
You know, I think, Carol, in so many respects, the Fed had underwritten risk with cheap money. And if money is getting less cheap, and I mean very incrementally, right, as it relates to that tapering characterization, but moving forward, theoretically less cheap, more dear, risk will have greater consequence if not calibrated properly. So I think that there's going to be a more tepid take to the market. Mm. We think that there would favor less index type buying and more calibration of that risk. Tim mentioned before the break of value orientation. We very much adhere to that here in allocating both our equity portions of our portfolios, but also fixed income. I mean, forego higher yields prospectively for the benefit of security and return of principal, short durations, the eventuality that we do see is steepening the yield curve, which would then provide proceeds that can be reinvested at higher rates. So I think the market's going to have a pretty tepid tone. I think the market's due for a reasonably tepid tone if we are in an environment that has those monetary policy sands shifting.
Doug Ciocca, does this mean that people are going to have to reevaluate what they want from their investments, that they're no longer going to be getting the 8-10% that they may expect, and they're going to have to be a little more realistic?
You know, I think, Pim, and we look at mutual fund flows, and there has not been a euphoric inflow of money into stock mutual funds, despite some pretty strong broad index-based performance this year. I think, and we've heard this a lot, you know, the retail, the individual investor.
You're talking about things like the NASDAQ is up 25%, the S&P is up 19%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 17.5% this year.
Right, yet there's still a lot of healthy cash balances that have been timid and frankly fearful of engaging at this point of the cycle. The expectation of a correction, I don't know if I've ever seen it so high, right? And so I think, and that's manifested itself into a lack of euphoria in stock buying, again, based on these mutual fund flows that we see, that a bid still remains in bonds. I mean, the 10-year bonds at a 265 this afternoon. And despite that, again, the Fed having shown its hand, despite the fact that we saw the 10-year bond go back above 3%, despite the fact that we saw generally a sponsorship of risk embracing right up until the point of last Wednesday when the Fed pulled back, and now money's coming back into fixed income. So I think people are in the process of realigning with sort of rationality what a 1 or 2% GDP global growth environment can provide as it relates to total portfolio returns. If people were super risk-loving, I just have a hard time thinking we'd be at a 265, the 10-year bond. So to Carol's point, I think that's been a progression. I think there's been an element of fear that still exists in this market as a carryover from the 08 decline that took place.
We got to leave it there. Doug Ciocca, Chief Executive, Cavar Capital, joining us on the Ring Central phone line from Leawood, Kansas, where he helps manage $275 million.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.